to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week my guests are Willie and Joe Allison, the founders and operators of the World Game Protection Conference. The World Game Protection Conference is one of the most unique in the industry, dedicated to the security and surveillance departments of the casino enterprises. The security and surveillance departments of any casino are like the umpires and referees at sporting events. The less you hear from them, the better. But if you do hear from them, they better have a solution to any problem. At the World Game Protection Conference, Willie and Joe Allison each year gather hundreds of security and surveillance executives in Las Vegas to talk about the challenges of those departments. Each conference is different, and they talk about what they'll be presenting at this year's WGPC, at one of the last conferences ever held at the Tropicana in Las Vegas, February 27th through 29th. They spoke with me from their home via Zoom in January. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guests today are Willie and Joe Allison, the people who organize the World Game Protection Conference, one of my favorite shows in the industry. Willie and Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Roger.
Hey, Roger.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Well, you know, I wrote in the magazine this month about how much I love your show and how different it is from anything else in the business. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. People are really excited about it. So let's talk about what you're doing. You know, this is, you're one of the last conferences that's going to be held at the Tropicana. They just announced they're going to close on April 2nd and your conference is at the end of February. So, has that helped or hurt your attendance? I would think people would want to come and, you know, get one last view of the original Tropicana.
Yeah, not sure whether it's helped or hindered. You know, it's funny, we've known for some time
right. That
Trop is going to be shut down to move to the A's, but it only just come out the last week, right? We got an exact date.
Right.
We were a little nervous.
Sure. Right?
Because it was like, you know, we're glad that it's shutting down. I think it's April the 2nd,
right?
Which
is
about 3 weeks after our show.
Yeah, right.
But for a little while, they were like, oh, maybe they're going to shut it early.
Yeah.
Right. But we're sad about it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's one of the old icons of Vegas. There's so much history there. We've been there 5 years, and the people there are fantastic. It's one of those classic places.
Oh, staff, you're so good.
Yeah.
One of those classic places in Vegas where it's all about the people.
Mm. Right.
I mean, in all honesty, it's not exactly the Ritz,
right?
And we know that, yeah.
It's old, and it probably does need some work done, right?
Right.
But the people there are just fantastic, and we're really sad that we're going to have to move on, and, you know, obviously they're moving on. But apparently they're coming back bigger and
better. So. Yeah, hopefully. And hopefully we'll have a nice baseball stadium there, too, so we'll see.
Yeah, there'll definitely be one. It'll be there.
Yeah.
I prefer it was a cricket.
Yeah, there you go. So one of the things I wrote in my publisher's letter in our February issue is that you guys change the show every year, which I always found really interesting because, you know, most trade shows you go to, you know, they're the same thing over and over and over again. But your show is always different. There's always something new. So what's new for this year?
Yeah, well, that's my fault, right?
Right.
Every year it has to be different.
Right.
But let's start again. So this is our 17th show. Or what I like to call our 17th album.
Right.
And
right.
We go into programming the show and looking at content and so forth. That's the way we look at it. We want it to be different every year. In saying that, we sort of went to a different model a couple of years ago. Every year now, we have a training portion of
correct,
the show.
Right.
So it's a 3-day show. The first day is dedicated to this training program that we're developing. That we've developed. I think we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Right.
And the last 2 days is the conference. Now, that's the part of the show that's different every year.
Right.
And we like to bring in guests from even outside the industry that can share their expertise. And when it comes to risk, right, all industries have to deal with this, right? So you can actually learn a lot from these sort of people.
Right.
So it's important to us that every year does have that different portion, you know, unlike a lot of shows out there that sort of just sort of have the same stuff.
Sure, right. So let's talk about the training. It's a core training session. And do you get, you know, break-in surveillance people in that, or who really is attracted to that part of the show?
Funny you should say that, because we were just having that conversation this morning. It actually runs the gamut.
Yeah.
We're finding that we're attracting a higher, the job titles are higher,
yeah,
so to speak. And they go up to GMs.
Okay.
So, you know, it runs the gamut. It depends on what the class is. But, I mean, we've got the experts, you know, in game protection.
Sure, absolutely.
In that core class, right? So, you know, it doesn't matter how long you've been working for a property or what your title is, you know, that this is something that's essential to, you know, to your bottom line.
Yeah.
But this will tell you more about core, because he handpicks these subjects and, of course, the speakers as well.
So core is my brainchild, mm-hmm. And I'm very proud of it. And we continue to develop it. But what it was a few years ago during COVID, you know, what I was hearing is people needed training.
Right.
Right. Foundational training in game protection and operational risk of casinos. So we cover table game protection, electronic game protection, advantage play, hotel security, report writing, investigation,
sure,
all these things, right? And we cover it in one day. We have 8 3-hour seminars. What I'm the most proudest about is our teachers. Mm-hmm. So they're 3-hour seminars. We cram 24 hours of training.
Sure. And
these are the best. These are the cream of the crop. You know these,
sure,
people.
Right.
Bill Zenda,
right.
Elliot Jacobson, Matt Siegel, Darren Hoke. These guys aren't guys that, they're experienced teachers.
Right.
Few of them have got their own books on this subject,
mm-hmm.
so they're experts in this field, or they do this for a living, so they're not part-timers. So
yeah,
this program we've put together is sort of, I'm going to say that for a lot of people that come to our show now, it's about the training.
Right, sure.
You know, they can go and learn from the best that are all gathered here in one spot. And we're finding, we thought it would just appeal to like frontline people and all that, but no, we've got CEOs and their general managers, because it's up to date and relevant, right? And that's what our show is all about. We don't theme every show, right? If
sure,
you ask me the theme of this year's show, I'd say it's the same as it is every year, and that is now.
Right.
Now's the theme of our show.
Right.
What's, as Marvin Gaye once said, you may know this, right? What's going on?
Right.
Right. So I think that people, and they're coming back every year,
yeah,
people who have already done the seminar, they're coming back for a refresher next year because they know these experts are going to bring,
right, sure,
what's relative and contemporary.
Yeah, no question. Well, obviously, the big issue this year is cybersecurity after what happened with the MGM properties and Caesars properties. That was a huge hit. MGM said it cost them $100 million. I don't know if Caesars paid that much in ransom, but it cost them money, too, as well. So how are you approaching that issue this year?
Well, you know more about this than me.
yeah, obviously, I'm the one that puts the fireballs on her. Here, right?
She's the IT director for the company and the accounts manager.
Right, right, right. Hello.
Well, one of the things we're looking forward to is we have a cyber panel, right? A panel of operational people who have gone through this.
Right.
Right? They have actually had cyber instances or ransomware attacks. And they're going to tell us some of the lessons that they learned, how they got through that, right? Because at the end of the day, it's probably going to happen to most of us, right?
Right.
In some, you know, whether it's directly in our computers or our information has been compromised somewhere else. But, you know, these people, they're very, very generous, in, you know, with their time and the information they're going to give us, because it's not something that is usually out there, right?
Right, right.
I think, you know, you do get, there are some folks out there, and they know the only way you're going to learn is you got to talk about it, right?
Sure,
you got to,
right,
tell,
yep,
the story, and you got to break it down. And then, you know, that's how we move forward with it. But we also have, and Willie can tell us a bit more about this gentleman as well, Dan. We've got a really great keynote speaker,
yeah,
who wrote the book on this.
Dan Lorman literally wrote the book,
yeah,
Cyber Mayday,
uh-huh,
to do the day after, right? Mm-hmm. So he's going to come, and if you do get whacked, and I think inevitably most people are going to get whacked at some stage.
Sure.
You know, how do you deal with it, how you manage it, and what's the resources out there that can help you with it. But again, I'm very proud of this panel. You know how hard it is to get IT directors
yeah,
on a panel talking about when they were attacked?
Right. Sure.
It's very difficult. So I appreciate these guys spending the time, but I think the best way to learn is to learn from people who have been through this.
Right. Right. Yep.
And these are three people who have been through this. Their casinos fell victim to ransomware attacks. So how did they deal with it? And they're going to, you know, as Joe said, generously share that information.
Transparency, you know, they're transparent and they're happy to tell the story.
Sure.
We're not happy. But, you know, if we all get on that same page, you know, we've got to be working as hard as these clowns are that are getting into our systems, right? So,
sure.
You know, it's a start.
Yeah,
start.
The thing with me with cyber, we usually, as you know, Roger, we're about game protection.
Sure.
Right? We're about the gaming floor. But this has got big.
Sure.
You know, this shuts down casinos.
Mm-hmm.
This shuts down surveillance departments.
Right.
Right. And that's big.
Yeah.
Right. If MGM lost $100 million like they said they did last year, that's a little bit more than somebody putting a late bet on a roulette.
For sure. Right.
Right.
Yep.
So we all need to be aware of the threat. In fact, it's not just an IT issue. Right. It's everybody's issue at the casino. So the best that we can make everyone in the industry aware of what they need to know, you know, the better. So it's a very challenging issue, I think, for everyone right now.
Sure, sure. So one of my favorite sessions that you always have is the top 10 scams of the previous year. And I know you're doing that again this year, but there's a lot of other issues you're talking about, scams and things of that nature. Explain how you're going to approach that this year.
So now we're going all in. In fact, myself and Bill Zender are hosting a one-hour session in the conference session
mm-hmm.
where we're going to go back on all the scams that we know of. And of
right.
course, we only know what we know.
Sure, right.
There's a lot of scams that
yep.
we don't know of. But what was reported in the news last year, the newsmakers, and we're going to break them down, come up, and we're actually going to get the audience to participate into this and they're going to vote using our show app to what was the biggest scam of 23.
Sure.
Right. But we're going to sit and go through each one. We'll probably have somewhere like 10 to 15 major scams. And we'll break them down, Bill and I, how it went down, what we know about it, and how the audience can prevent it.
Sure.
So it's people always look forward to that because it's one of the reasons they come out here, right?
Sure.
They want to know
right.
what's going on.
Yeah.
And you always have that video surveillance view of the situation too. So you know, you see how brazen they are at many times, you know.
Yeah, we not so much now.
Yeah.
Back in the days, you might remember, we used to show videos.
Right.
You know, yeah, they had a competition.
Right.
The information sharing has got a lot less now.
Yeah.
So if we can get the video, that's great. But in a lot of cases, we can't.
Sure,
we can
right.
We can still talk about it.
Sure, absolutely. So sports betting is obviously a huge part of the industry now, and you're doing a couple of sessions on that. What are you looking for there when you talk about, you know, game protection, especially when it comes to sports betting?
So in the last couple of years, a lot of properties across the country have bought sports betting online, right?
Right.
And I get emails going, hey, look, I'm a surveillance person. What's the threats? What do I need to know?
Sure,
we're
right.
setting it up and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, I'd have a conversation, but it sort of dawned on me, you know, I've worked in Vegas, you've worked in Atlantic City. We know this
right.
stuff, right? We just assumed everyone knew.
Sure.
But it's relatively new to people out there. So we're having a panel where we've invited people from surveillance operations, internal audit, mm-hmm. who just recently started up one the last year or so. To talk about how do you start a sports book,
mm-hmm.
what are the things you look for, and in terms of risk, what do you look out for?
Right.
Right. So that's, and then after that, we're having Matt Holt. Matt's the president of US Integrity, who is probably one of the leading companies out there. US Integrity, as the name suggests.
Right.
Great
they,
name.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah.
They're looking out for abnormalities in sports betting. You know, they use algorithms and all that, and I think that's kind of interesting.
Sure, sure, no question.
And so we're really just sort of giving our audience an overview of where we are in sports betting right now. And I think, you know, you hit it on the head. It's huge now, right?
Yeah, sure. So one of my other favorite conferences now is a conference called Bet Bash, which is operated by this professional gambler, Spanky. And he always complains that the casinos, the legal sports books won't take his bets because he's too good. So I'm hoping that your first presenter talks about how they're going to approach professional sports bettors.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about that. Is he too good?
Yeah, we'll see. Well, I'm going to ask him a question then, okay?
Yeah, I'm going to have to invite him on the show and tell him why he's so good.
There you go. Right, right, exactly. So last year you had Michael Francis, the former mobster, who I've actually, since your show, I've seen him on some major, interview shows on TV. I saw him on the Megyn Kelly show, and he was really fascinating at your show. And this year you're going toward another one. You got a combat fighter pilot coming in. And what's his message going to be to your attendees?
Well, you know what, you got more pack. You know, you got
right.
But
tell me his name and his background first.
Now, so Hazard Lee, he's a fighter pilot,
right? Right.
And like when I was looking at last year, I had a few people comment to me, if I could just say out loud, that we've become the industry of stupidity.
Maybe I should have taken that question.
With the social engineering scams in particular.
Sure.
There's things going on. I mean, who would have thought that somebody can call up a casino cage and say somebody in that cage, you put $1 million in a shoebox or a box and bring it to me in a parking lot down at the Loon place?
Right.
Who would have thought that, right? So that prompted this discussion, right? So anyway, I got to reading, you know, this is about decision making in our industry. We've got to do things on the fly.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you look at the big scams, you know, it might be the Phil Ivey scam or things we've talked about in the past, it's executives or managers making decisions on the fly.
Right.
So I found this gentleman who just written a book called The Art of Clear Decision Making.
Okay.
Something like that, But this book, I read it, I enjoyed it, I thought, wow, this is really good, right? He's obviously a fighter pilot, he's going to think fast.
Sure, right, oh yeah.
So I invited him to speak, and he's got a big following on YouTube. He goes and makes these videos of flying around.
Yeah.
He's got millions and millions of views in each one, so he's quite a bit of a celebrity. But the main thing was the book.
Yeah.
We always look for guest speakers who have brought out books that are authors, that are experts in subjects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, decision making is a big part of game protection. Mm-hmm.
iGamingPlayer.com was one of the first fully licensed affiliates in the New Jersey market. Through partnerships with all the major online casino, poker, and sports betting websites, iGamingPlayer has become one of the most trusted places where players visit before deciding where to gamble online. iGaming Player offers reviews of the online gaming sites, advice about how to play the games, odds and opinions on sports betting, and much more. Soon to be licensed in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Michigan, iGamingPlayer.com can make the difference between success and failure for new online casino, poker, or sports betting websites. For information on how to work with iGaming Player, visit iGamingPlayer.com. Now back to our podcast.
So every year you give out a Lifetime Achievement Award recognizing people that, you know, probably a lot of people in the industry don't know about, you know, and because they're superstars in your part of the business, but nobody else really knows about them. But you're doing it again this year. Who's going to be your recipient this year?
It is someone I think a lot of people will know, Sal Piacente.
Okay, yep.
And Sal's been around for years. He's,
Yeah, so let me just go back a little bit. What is the Lifetime Achievement Award? Because I know a lot of shows put out awards,
right?
And I look at some of them and I go, I have no idea who that person
was,
and I have no idea when that person got an award.
Exactly,
you know
Sure.
So it's important to explain the criteria, right? So we look for, over the last 10 years, we've given out an award for a Lifetime Achievement Award in game protection.
Right.
People have spent the majority of their life dedicated to sharing information, helping people in the casino industry to better educate them on game protection. And we generally give it to people who are a lot older in years, and Sal is going to be, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, he's 60 this year.
Just gets in, yeah.
So we generally people, and Sal has been in this business 39 years. He's one of the most well-known, internationally recognized gang protection trainers. He's trainers. He's been on many TV shows.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's been on many videos. The thing about Sal, he truly is international. Yes. I personally don't know an educator in cheating and gang protection that's visited and touched so many people's lives in so many countries around the world.
Right.
And he, like myself, and like yourself with Beck, he's supported by a wonderful wife, indeed.
Right.
And he's also a gaming person. She's got many a years in the business, used to be a dealer.
Okay.
And she travels with them everywhere, and they put on these great seminars all across the planet. So,
and Sal's just a guy that's just generous with his, you know, with his time and the information that he has. You know, and you can't beat that. There's a lot of people out there that, you know, they might have a skill set and they might know some things, but they'll just keep it to themselves, right? You know. But
all that stuff aside, there's one other criteria. They've got to be a good bloke or a good guy.
Yeah, of course, right.
A good person, right? And everybody loves Sal. Everybody knows him in our industry. Now, say the name Sal Pia Santam, people go, oh, Sal. Sure.
Yeah, he's a great choice. I'm glad to see that. I'm gonna look forward to seeing him to get that award for sure. So we've talked many times about how surveillance and security are non-revenue producing parts of the casino. So they don't get a lot of attention, certainly don't get a lot of capital reinvestment. But these days you really have to pay attention to those sites because they can really impact you. And you know, that's the MGM situation in itself. I mean, if they had put some money into, you know, possibly some sort of IT system that would combat this kind of cyber attacks, maybe they wouldn't have lost that money. Are you seeing any of that happen in terms of both the IT department and the surveillance department?
Are they
investing more money into that so that they can avoid these kind of situations?
I don't know about the IT department, right? But I can speak for security and surveillance, and the answer is no.
Yeah.
It's still no. They're just not.
Right.
And they make do with what they have. They're reactive and so forth. Equipment-wise, I think if you look at the two things where you got to spend money to keep your operation effective, it's technology and training, right?
Sure.
So I think technology-wise, things look pretty good.
Yeah.
Right? We are all excited about the AI revolution and how that could help us to be smarter. But as terms of hardware, cameras, access control, all that stuff, we're good to go. What we don't have is the training and the awareness, especially of the new things that are coming out, right? And there's been, I think the reason is, it's just, it's not budgeted for. There's so much turnover in our industry now that people don't even have the time to get them trained before they start. So they're hiring people that may have a resume saying they have experience, but no one really knows whether they received training in the first place.
Right.
It has to be going too. It can't just be onboarding. You just can't get someone in and say, you know, read the manual, tick, 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 and you got it, right? And give them a little bit of phase training. It's got, you got to keep the refresher. It's just like, you know, it's just like when you're a kid in school, the menu, they just got to, you got to keep practicing that times table, but you've got to keep reminding people, don't open that email. It seems so simple. Don't even open that email.
Right.
Verify that phone call. Mm-hmm. Don't do this. Don't do that. It seems simple, but you just have to keep at it, you know?
Sure.
But it's sort of 80-20, you know, 20% of property invest, I would say, invest. They have training budgets, right? And this is easy to prove. Just go and ask them, let me see your training budget. And, you know, 80% won't have it.
Right, sure.
And say, please give me some training type things. The bigger properties, the more professional properties are always looking for ongoing training. And those are the smart properties because it's the ongoing stuff that's important stuff.
Right.
And we know that too because hence we have a show, right? We have a conference every year with training. So we've got a lot of good, you know, people who do earmark money and, you know, to their people to come and train.
Sure. I went to a conference a few years ago, and Andrew Cardino, who's with QCI, Quick Custom Intelligence, got up and said, you know, if you have systems that leave your property, that go to the cloud or wherever, he said, you're susceptible to being hacked. And he said, you will be hacked at some point or another, and you have to prepare for it. These are things I'm sure you're going to address at your show.
Yeah, we. I mean, as I said, we got Dan Cardo in this group.
Right.
They've been through it before. You know, I think when it comes to cyber, I'm not sure if there's best practices in place.
Yeah, sure.
I was having a discussion with someone the other day, and I'm going to be honest, I think there's a lot of IT directors. This cyber threat is way over their head.
Right.
I'll be honest.
Sure.
Right.
Right.
And why do I say that? Because if you look at last year, for example, in 23, you look at MGM, you look at Caesars, Gateway in Canada,
right.
Roughly around about 100 properties in North America were affected. And I'm talking about systems down because of cyber
right.
attacks.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those guys that brought them down have been caught?
Yeah, sure, right, yeah.
In surveillance, what we do on the floor, what we've been doing for years, what you've been doing, I ain't doing, we catch our person.
Right.
We have systems and controls. We have layers of security. We use technology. We have people. We have expertise and all that. What I see in the IT world and why we're so susceptible is we have some people that, you know, they might be IT directors, but they don't have the security mind that we have.
Right.
They don't have that team.
Zero trust.
There are still casinos out there that don't have a cybersecurity
right.
division. It astounds me.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I think they're way, way behind. And I think that they need to catch up. We were there. We were back. We were like that 20 years ago.
Right.
Security surveillance especially. We're a little bit insecure about, you know, our knowledge. But since then, that we've been training in conferences and
right.
we're focused on the issues that can happen on the floor, the collusion, the inside threat, all that sort
mm-hmm.
of stuff.
Right.
We shared that with that. Uh-oh.
Excuse me.
Someone registering for the show.
You got to be there, right?
Right? Got to get there. So I think there's it's something that the IT world are going to have to get on top of it.
Sure.
Right? They're going to have to get the resources in place and the expertise and stop pretending like they know how to deal with this.
Right. Oh, great. So you helped me put together our security and surveillance section this month in our February issue. You wrote a story, Earl Hall wrote a story, Al Zajac wrote some great stuff. I really enjoyed your article pretty much because it talked about employee fraud. And we're not just talking about a dealer putting a $100 chip in his pocket. We're talking about something much bigger than that. Explain why you think that's a real threat to the industry.
I've looked back the last 25 years, right? And remember 2 years ago, I wrote for you the top scams of the last
sure,
25
right.
years. When you analyze our past, you go, when people talk about late bets and past posts and that two-bit stuff, in terms of risk, financial risk, it doesn't compare with what we've seen over the last 25 years with collusion scams
mm-hmm.
and insider threats. In
right.
other words, crooked staff.
Yeah.
It doesn't compare at like 90 to 10. When I added up the amounts involved with the top 25 scams, it came to around just a little bit over $1 billion.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And then when I looked at, well, which one involved staff, it was just under $1 billion. In other words, over 90% of it
yeah,
involved
right.
staff.
Yeah.
So those are the facts, right? But it doesn't seem to be in casinos. They don't talk about it much, right? They don't sort of want to talk about it. It might show that they're not doing a good job managing. I don't know. But if you're a seasoned veteran in surveillance, you know.
Right.
Right. It's not the outside guy that's going to come in and place a late bet, right, or have a take a shot. It's when a staff member knows the internal controls,
right.
knows where the weaknesses are, and it's not being supervised in certain processes. That's an issue.
Yeah, sure.
I just wrote an article, and that's what that's based on. It's just, I'm not the only one that feels that way.
Right.
And also, again, you go back to turnover of staff as well. So
yeah, sure. Right.
That, you know, so they might find out the secrets of the sauce, and then they they're gone, right?
Yeah, sure.
So you know what happens with that information, right? You don't know how that comes back around again.
Right, right? Yeah, sure.
Well, I think I wrote a little bit about the fraud triangle, which is, you know, the three things when it comes to occupational fraud or internal fraud is motivation, opportunity, and rationale, right? We do a reasonably good job of taking away the opportunity for someone to steal. But when you look at the times that we're in now, you know, people are more desperate, cost of living has gone up, wages haven't particularly gone up, there's all sorts of issues, there's drug problems and all these things, right? So when you look at the world now, you can see how there could be more motivation for staff to steal if nobody's watching over their back.
Right.
And at the same time, we're cutting costs.
Yep.
And it's not always just because we want to cut costs.
Sure.
It's just there's not enough staff out there that are experienced at supervising and no game protection.
Sure, right.
On the floor.
Yep. Yep.
It just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So my article is about acknowledging that.
Right. So you do a great podcast too, by the way. I've listened to it several times. Darren Hoke joins you most of the time there, and Darren's obviously got incredible experience in your field. But today you released one about sharing information between the casinos. And you know, we know that they share the black book here in Nevada. We know they share information about card counters, but they don't share information about crimes that happen on their properties. I mean, how important is that? How do you think that should be really ramped up?
We got a little bit of an issue, right? And so most of the time it's because the criminal process, you know, if there's a scam involving a number of staff or a gang team coming in, there's an investigation involved,
right.
You got to bring in the regulators, and it can the turnover on that and going to court and getting it can be a year or two, right?
Right.
So, but that's no good to us.
Sure.
It's no good to us, right? If there's a gang wandering around recruiting our staff to be involved, we need to know the ammo now, right? So I just sort of feel that we have to come up with a way, and we don't need to name names, you don't need to name casinos or humans or anything like that.
Right.
We just need to be able to share the ammo.
Right.
The modus operandi, in other words, how the scam went down. If we share that with the industry, and I suggest what we need is a national body or a group that could drive this, right? So it goes straight in the database. With that information, we can make aware all our staff, whether it's staff on the floor or staff in surveillance. And as I said, you can do that without passing on any confidential information of human beings or casinos.
Sure.
So, you know, that's the thing. And I think that what I've seen, especially with the cyber things that happened last year and the social engineering scams in the cage, which we didn't talk about, is nobody's talking about it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that would be a great goal to put together some sort of a national database so you would know, you know, what happened. And you're right. I think sometimes the casinos are embarrassed that they get taken by these kind of scams. And if you make it anonymous, maybe you'll get an opportunity to actually share that information.
Yeah, and other industries do
that.
Google, especially like in the retirement age community, what's that called, the AARP or whatever.
Yeah.
There's websites that have, because there's a lot of scams out there now for elderly people, right?
Right.
And they're posting daily. They're keeping everybody informed, right?
Right,
and
sure.
Like I said, they don't, it's no mugshots or license plates
or
driver's license. We just need to inform people what to look out for.
Yeah.
Right, right, exactly.
I think it's a worthwhile cause.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. How can people register for your show? What's your website?
It's worldgameprotection.com. It's that right button that you can push, register now, go straight to the registration site. It's online. Or people are always welcome to call me, as you heard by the phone call before,
about
call or email us at email joe@worldgameprotection.com, and you know, Great. We will help you out. But
or we could meet in a bar in an envelope with cash.
There you go.
There's a little bar behind the Bellagio.
Right. But we can't do that because we screen everyone. Remember, that's the other thing. It is private shows. So, great. Yeah.
Sure. That's great, and you can also find your podcast at that website as well.
Thanks, Roger. Great. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Actually, the podcast is on Woodley's website, WillieAllison.com.
Yeah,
okay. Don't put that on the conference site.
Okay.
WillieAllison.com.
Great. All right, Willie and Joe, thanks for taking the time to join us. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys in Vegas next month, and or later this month, actually, now. We will we'll have fun when we meet, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot more at your show. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.